Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on Demand.
Hey everybody, Rod Peterson here. NFL season has kicked off and it's time you join the action. Come on down to Houston with Darren DuPont and me on the inaugural Rod Peterson Show VIP sports trip with Uniglobe Travel. We'll catch the Houston Texans and Denver Broncos at Energy Stadium, plus your choice of NBA games with the Houston Rockets home to the Phoenix Suns and Sacramento Kings. And if you're a real football fan, you'll want to join us for Texas State High School playoff action. All this, plus live Rod Peterson shows with Dupes and me. Are you sold yet? For more info or to book now, visit rodpeterson.com/trip.
Yep, it's official. Rod's gone. We kicked him out. He's gone for the rest of the afternoon. Good morning. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show. I'm Darren DuPont, in for Rod for the rest of the morning, I guess. And happy to have you along here in hour two of the program. Kelly Rempel is in chair one with me here. So good morning, Kelly. Welcome.
Good morning.
I know you were hanging out for a bit.
I got a cartoon somewhere. I've yet to see it up on the graphic.
You do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except it had my goatee, and I was only like a 3-day thing.
I told the guys they got to shave it off on the computer. Yeah. So
good, because I needed fertilizer just to fill it in. So
they're working on it. Big thanks to John Paddock, who joined us in hour one. If you missed that, go back and check it out on the podcast on Apple Podcasts or Google Play Music or Stitcher or CastBox or wherever you listen to podcasts at rodpeterson.com too. What did you like? You sat in for most of that interview. I love those. Sitting with hockey guys and talking hockey is some of the best things about this job. What was it like sitting on the couch and just being able to sit and listen to John?
Well, I caught the last maybe 5 minutes of the interview, maybe a little longer than that. I agree with you. I've always found over the years that when you want to really kind of learn something, or you really want coaches to open up, and if I can be blunt for a minute, be a little bit interesting, because generally they're not, you have to do it in this type of a situation where it's, you know, there's not a bunch of moving parts. You can just sit down, you can ask good questions, and they'll give you really good answers. When you're in a scrum, it tends to be the same questions and that you get the same answers. It's the cliches, you know, well, we got to give it on, you know, the full 60-minute effort, and we got to compete, and we, you know, all that stuff. But I enjoy the interviews where, you know, you really can get the person to sort of just be themselves and open up, and they kind of almost forget that they're doing an interview. They're just talking.
Yeah.
You know, I remember years ago when I first started getting into broadcasting, I did an interview with Lorne Mullican, and Lorne is an intimidating guy if you don't know him.
Yeah, he is.
Right? And I remember we were doing an interview, and I really contemplated on whether I wanted to ask him these tough questions, because I had to ask him about firing Curtis Hunt. I had to ask him about, or I guess not firing, whatever happened back in those days, but Curtis was the coach and the GM, and then Lauren all of a sudden got parachuted into being the general manager, and it sort of left Curtis in an awkward spot sort of coaching, but he really didn't do anything wrong. So I had to think about a way, how can I ask Lauren what it's like to, like, you know, just kind of parachute in one day and now you're this guy's boss and all this kind of stuff. And I just remember we were doing an interview much like this, like just two guys talking. We had the little pins and, you know, we were sitting in his office, and I just said to him, I said, Lauren, you know, look, I you don't have to answer this question if you don't want to, but there's a lot of people that are kind of wondering what's going on here. Like, this guy all of a sudden is the coach and the general manager. He appears to have really done nothing wrong. And then all of a sudden, you know, the Warrior board, who are friends of yours, make you the general manager, and you got to walk in and work with this guy every day, and nobody has given him one good reason, frankly, as to what he did wrong.
Yeah.
Is that an awkward situation for you?
Yeah.
And he answered it. It was unbelievable how he was very honest and said, look, you know, I'm, you know, anyway, I won't get into the answer because it's his story to tell, not mine. But we were just two guys just talking. Now, I can guarantee you this. If he and I would have been talking and there would have been a scrum and there would have been six microphones in front of him, and half the people there don't want to be there, quite honestly. They were sent there because it was an assignment. It was an inconvenience for them. Hey, who wants to cover the Warrior practice today? I guess I'll do it. I'm there anyway. Like that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. right? It would have been an awkward question. Somebody would have asked it like, not tooting my own horn either. I'm just saying somebody would have said, so Lauren, you know, how come you're the GM now? Or something stupid like that,
right?
Because a lot of times these people that are asking these questions, they don't care about these guys. They're just asking questions, right?
Yeah.
And so I can only imagine what kind of a stiff, awkward moment or answer it would have been if somebody would have even have had the guts to ask at all, because I almost didn't. I was kind of afraid to ask that. But I truly believe that it's not the question, it's how it's presented. And you can ask somebody just about anything if you do it with respect,
mm-hmm.
and you come across like you're not, I'm not up to anything here. I don't have an agenda. I haven't already written my story tomorrow, and now I just need you to fill in the blanks. I'm genuinely interested in the answer, and like, how do you explain something like this? I think that you get great answers from most of these guys.
Yeah.
The thing that we often don't see, though, is we don't see them just kind of relaxing and just kind of talking, being just talk a little hockey, or you get the same bad answers to the same stupid questions.
Yeah.
And then you wonder why they don't like doing interviews in the first place. It's because they don't often get a forum like this to just kick back and be relaxed and just answer fun questions, or even if they're not fun, they'll answer them, but you got to do it the right way.
That's it. 100%. It's about building the relationships. We think we can sit in the office, right, and continue to just do our work, and we get to ask the questions, we're going to get the answers, and we're going to write the story, but it's doing stuff like this. It's the coffee row. It's going into the office and just getting to know somebody. And then you start to open up, and then they start to answer your questions in a better way and start to trust you a little bit. So I really like that a lot. NHL last night, how much of that did you watch on opening night? Leafs were 5-3 winners over Ottawa. Sorry, I'll just run through it. Leafs were 5-3 winners over Ottawa. Washington in overtime over St. Louis, 3-2, as they raised the banner from the Stanley Cup. Edmonton edging Vancouver on a late goal in the third period by Connor McDavid, 3-2, and Vegas over San Jose, 4-1. You watched?
I did. I didn't watch as much as I would have liked, but that's because I coach my son in football. So I came home and I had actually, I PVR'd the driving force. That's right. Good call back there.
You heard it.
Yeah, you had a good practice too. Our whole team did. We're getting ready. We're in first place. We're going for a championship here, Darren.
Good.
The Mustangs, Pee-wee Mustangs.
Got to be getting close to being finished.
Yeah. Well, our last regular season game is against the Thunder on Saturday, and if that's for first place.
Yeah.
So we win that, then, yeah, we're in the playoffs.
And we need a flag.
Oh, yeah.
Wave on the
set. Mustangs. We got a good team. We got a special opportunity. Anyway, getting back to what we're talking about. So I PVR'd the games. And I'm one of those few guys. I know, like, Labardius hates this. He can't do it. He says, I cannot watch a game that I already know is 2 hours old.
I
can't stand it. I just want to forward through it and find out what happened. But I'm not like that. I can actually enjoy if I don't know.
But you didn't know the scores.
No, I had no idea.
See, and that's the thing. Once you've learned the score,
it's hard
to go back and watch a game.
Lou doesn't even like doing that. Like, he, in his mind, if the game's already over and I know it ended 3 hours ago,
it's hard to get
into. The fun is gone for me because it's already happened. It's not real time.
Yeah.
Whereas I don't feel that way. I can go back and I can watch it.
You can get into that space.
I can get right back in the moment. So I watched the Leafs game, the first, the Leafs-Ottawa game. Didn't get off to a very good start.
No.
For the Leafs. And it's a good thing that
25 seconds in, Brady Kachuk.
25 seconds in, and they just got dominated in the first period. I mean, if their goaltender, if Anderson hadn't have been really good, they could have been down 3-0 after that first period.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually they kind of got stride, and things started to click. The passes were crisper, and guys were playing better. And they did, to me, look like the better team last night. They look, you know what? That's a dangerous team. I could see them being lazy at times, but I can also see them scoring, you know, 3 goals in 2.5 minutes. Like, they just got so much firepower there.
They do.
And then I watched the Oilers game. I didn't know what to make of it. I thought, you know, it wasn't maybe the most exciting game I've ever watched. You know, here's an interesting observation by me. Like, I'm the first one that ever came up with this one. They're not going to be as much fun to watch because they're actually going to have, like, real structure this year. Like Dave Tippett is a martinet when it comes to structure.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying Ken Hitchcock isn't, because he clearly is, but I think that these guys are going to have, there's going to be more accountability under this regime. And I think that they're not maybe going to play the fire wagon type of brand of hockey that we've been used to seeing. I think that he's going to force those guys to play a bit more of a team game. And I think it'll translate into more wins. I truly believe that.
That, and the Leafs game, you talk about how they played, running through some of the numbers, 42-26 the shots on goal. Not quite 2-1, but decisive advantage for the Leafs in that edge. 1-for-5 on the power play, but a couple of firsts. Mikhaev, who's new, got his first goal, first assist, 2. Tyson Berry looked really good on the back end. Right shot, but he's playing a lot on the left side. His spin move to set up that goal was really nice. And Austin Matthews continues to be really good in home openers, or just in openers.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Another 2 goals. Now, nine goals.
9 goals in 4, is it?
In 4 season openers. Jeez. Now, Connor McDavid, the Oilers fans will be all over this. He's scored in 6 straight season openers. Maybe not the 9 goals that Austin Matthews has in 4, so that's a little bit more impressive. But the Oilers, they get to me a little bit too, because they got outshot in this game. They lost the faceoff battle. But they won 3-2. Nobody's talking about the Canucks, who played well, mm-hmm. who we've learned are maybe one of the most improved teams in the NHL. With one of the best players in the NHL, but it was all about McDavid. Didn't play with Draisaitl most of the night, but when they came back together, teed up on the game-winning goal, too. So it's exciting times in Canada for the NHL, I think. And with Ottawa, don't sleep on them either. They brought a physical game, too. They out-hit the Leafs 44-17 in that hockey game. So that's really, you know, that's big. But
I thought it was interesting that Brian Burke called them soft.
Yeah.
He just made no, he didn't even try to cover it up. He said, this is a very fast team, an explosive team, but they are a soft team.
The Leafs.
Yeah, and I thought, wow.
That is the concern when you get into tough playoff hockey. Can they change, or can they continue to play this fast, highly skilled game? Because they are highly skilled. And John Tavares, the captain, we got the Tavares jersey in the bunker now. I was saying we got to embroider the C on it now live on the set one day, so we'll do that. All right, picture's ready to go. I want you to see this, because we're going to go a little bit longer here in this, and we're going to get some hockey talk. And then we're going to go into football for the rest of the show, because we've got Marshall Ferguson from TSN Radio in Hamilton, the voice of the Ticats, joining us in about 15 minutes' time. But this was from NBC. Beautiful cartoon, NBC Sports, or the NHL on NBC. If you saw this, Kelly, previewing its classes in session, back to school day on day one. And there's O'Reilly holding the Stanley Cup, show and tell, right? You got Kucherov with the Art Ross and the Hart Trophy. But there's a bunch of hidden messages in here, and I don't know if you can spot them all. We'll start here. There's Claude Giroux. He's got Gritty on the lunchbox. That's pretty good. You see,
I love New York.
Yeah, so we'll start with, that's Capo Kako, Rangers pick, and he had a video out actually on Twitter, so this is really hidden, where he just talked about how in love he's been with New York. Mm. So you got the I Love New York t-shirt over top of the jersey. Look at Wheeler dropping the letter, the note in class to Sebastian Aho. Is that an offer sheet that they're sliding to Aho? Hidden message there, right? Parise is just kind of watching in the background. Just out of the shot, Barzal was there with the razor. I'm not sure why he had the razor.
Throwing a paper airplane.
So, yeah, at the top, you got Brad Marchand. He's still the class pest, right? He's still the pest. He's throwing it. There's the flower, Marc-Andre Fleury, with a bag of flowers. Flowers in his bag. Ovechkin's got a picture. He's doing something. Oh, he's... And there's Phil Kessel. I think Ovechkin might be on his phone, because Phil Kessel's got the Snapchat hot dog If you're familiar with the Snapchat hot dog, it's one of the filters. That's in front of Kessel. Yeah, the razor for Barzal. Who's at the bottom there? Eating the buffalo wings? Jack Eichel had buffalo wings for being in Buffalo. There's the two, you know, Newfoundland kids, Sidney Crosby and Nathan MacKinnon. They're up top. The octopus. What else am I missing, guys, from this?
This is really neat. So
it's pretty cool.
The backstory on this. I know nothing about it.
Yeah, I think that. Oh, the other one you missed. Back to the Marc-Andre Fleury one. It was Connor McDavid. He's just off your shot here on the right side. If maybe go to the full picture. We'll do that. There you go. He's got an Oilers Gretzky jersey beside him. McDavid does. That was the other touch. And there's Doc Emrick standing off to the side coming in maybe to teach the class. It's the NBC on NHL on NBC. And before their season, they dropped out the cartoon on social media.
There's a hat flying.
Teasing the season. Yeah, hat's going. So you get a little bit of the taste of the NHL, and
yeah,
I love
like
that.
I like that.
Love that stuff. But I'm with you. I watched a little bit of the NHL on the PVR, and then so I did that with the Leafs game, and then the other games I watched in the NHL on 30, which is what Sportsnet's putting out. And I love it with the game in 30, because they took it away from Hockey Night in Canada. Every Saturday night, I'd go do a hockey game. It would be great. And then I'd get back to the hotel room at 11:30, and I'd, you know, grab some food or a drink or whatever, and I'd sit and I'd flip on midnight, game in an hour, and it was awesome. I could watch the Leafs game in 1 hour. It's perfect. So catching up on all the games in 30 minutes, I like it. You get to see all the great moments. But I didn't watch the games. Because I was out, and we got to go for a break here right away. So two things we'll get to, but for the first one I wanted to say, and I wanted to just throw this out here because it's been on my mind all day long. It has nothing to do with sports, but I was out at the movie theater with my mom because she came into town, and that doesn't happen often, and we went to the Brad Pitt movie, Ad Astra. Have you heard of it?
Yeah, I've heard of it.
It's great.
I haven't seen it.
It's not too futuristic. It's a space movie, but one thing that comes up in the movie is they're on another planet, and they're talking to this girl, and she was born on this planet, and she's like on Mars, right? At the space station. So she's only been to Earth one time in her life when she was a kid. And it got me thinking, if you were only going to make one trip to Earth, where would you go? Would you go to the big city to see all this crazy technology like New York and see what we've done? Would you go to the mountains? Would you go to the ocean? You got one trip to Earth. Where are you going? I don't have an answer.
Yeah.
And it's been keeping me up at
night.
Like
one place.
Yeah, you get one. You're going to make one destination. Where are you setting the pilot to drop you off for a week or wherever you're going to go?
Well, in my younger years, I would have said the Deja Vu Club in Toronto. But that's a long time ago. You know, people are going to think I'm crazy for saying this. I love Banff. That Banff Jasper area, that sort of like, if I was going to, if you're talking, I just want to see something visually that's going to be like just cemented in my mind. And I never want to lose that visual. It's going to be that drive between Banff and Jasper. That's the most beautiful thing that these eyes have ever laid eyes on. I was absolutely blown away by it.
Craig, we're going to ask Kelly about the Vikings because we're going to talk football the rest of the show now. Brady, McDavid, Draisaitl, they were really good. But I want to get your thoughts in the questions. Now they're coming in. Tyler says, go to Vancouver Island. You can see everything, little mountains, little ocean, get a little bit of everything, the big city. Dave says, the ancient Roman ruins. Never seen that, but I'd love to. Vegas and party like a rock star, says Sheldon. Why not? That's what you're going with Toronto and the club. I know it. But I'd love to get your thoughts, in the Facebook wall here. And we'll get to that coming up. But before we go to break, let's get to our WHL player profile, our prospects report for Saskatchewan Snow Beef. I know Clark's got it up here, and our profile this week is Ozzie Weisblatt, one of the four or five Weisblatt brothers in the Western Hockey League, and Ozzie's with the Prince Albert Raiders. You can see the bobblehead on the milk crate at Prince Albert in the Art Hauser there.
One of the great names in hockey.
Yeah, Weisblatt, Ozzie. Ozzie, Orca, Oasis, and there's one more, Ocean, I think. Good finishing ability around the net, elite, elite puck skills and elusiveness to create opportunities in tight spaces and strong on his skates, plays physical. Future Prospects has him rated number 45 among North American players. For the 2020 NHL entry draft, he's eligible and going to have a big year. I know he had 15 goals last season. He's going to be a 30-goal guy this year, I really believe it, for Prince Albert. So that's your WHL Prospects Report, the feature for Saskatchewan Snow Beef. Love their stuff. And you missed out on the trip to Crave. I got to tell you, that was unbelievable. But
I wasn't invited.
Well, we'll make sure you're invited to the Christmas party because we're going to do it again. All right? Sask Snow Beef, the sponsor of our WHL player profile. Football till the top of the hour when we get back here on the Rod Peterson Show here on Facebook Live and rodpeterson.com.
Houston, we have a problem. Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy five nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital GMC. We have over 1,000 new and used vehicles to choose from with savings up to $17,000. And for a limited time, we're offering finance rates as low as 0% on new and used vehicles. Buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the greatest auto sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bust down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's greatest auto sale.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Cheers to the 16 guys who never back down. And to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
All right, welcome back to the Rod Peterson Show. I'm Darren DuPont, in for Rod for the rest of the hour. He was in on hour one, and the podcast for that will be up at rodpeterson.com/podcast, or you can see it on rodpeterson.com and Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, Stitcher, Spotify, CastBox, and all the rest, iHeartRadio. Welcome back to the program. The Prairie Mobile text line is open at 840-8777. That's 306-840-8777. And who do we got here? I'm not sure who's texting in, but unknown texter has saying the McDavid-Draisaitl duo is going to be crazy good this year. Looking forward to watching Nick Suzuki's first regular season game with the Habs. I think that's Brady who's texting in, and we saw that comment earlier, so thanks on that. We were talking hockey right up until the break, so top of hour two, you can go back and get the hockey talk. Also in hour one, good hockey talk off the top and a great conversation with John Paddock, the general manager of the Regina Pats, joining us. And Norway texting, on the way to conduct choir tonight. Hope the Riders receivers and Cody are on the same page. Enjoy the game and go Riders. We're going to get to the CFL here soon, but one quick take. The National Football League, your 2-2 Minnesota Vikings against the surprising 2-2 New York Giants. It's a good game. Mm-hmm. It's in New York. How are your Vikings going to do in Kirk Cousins?
Well, with him quarterbacking our team, I never feel real confident. Talk about a disaster. Talk about an example where an organization just completely outthinks themselves. They had a guy, Case Keenum, who led them to an NFC championship. Like, that happens in Minnesota every day. Okay?
Yeah.
But because he's not a sexy rock star, you know, combine guy, and he doesn't throw for 400 yards a game, and he wasn't the number one pick in the draft and all that nonsense. He's just a hardworking guy that just puts in his time, goes out every week, gives you an honest effort. Maybe not the best quarterback in the league, but guess what? He knows how to read a defense, and when there's an open receiver, he gets him the ball. How's that for a start? And they had him, and they could have got him for half the price, but they just got seduced by the mechanics and the ability. And here we go again, where what you think a guy might be, a projection of his potential, and it bites you again. And that's what happened to the Minnesota Vikings. And now they're stuck with this guy for $30 million a year. That's right, folks. $30 million a year. That's what you're paying a guy to be probably the 27th or 28th best starting quarterback in the National Football League, and you're stuck with them because you just couldn't resist going out and, you know, thinking the grass is going to be greener somewhere else. And instead of taking all of those millions and millions of dollars and locking in other guys, or, you know, getting an offensive line that can block, now you're in purgatory.
Yeah.
For how long with one of the best defenses in the NFL? And you've got, and now you're getting to the point now where Stephon Diggs doesn't even want to be there anymore because he never gets the ball.
Yep.
So you're wasting one of the best receivers in the league. What a disaster.
It's the top story at NFL.com. Diggs on report he wants out.
Well, I don't blame him, quite frankly.
Truth to all rumors. So interesting. My Tennessee Titans are at home to Buffalo. Buffalo's 3-1. The Titans are 2-2. And I'm, you know, trust me, I feel your pain. You look at this team, and we had a guy who won football games. His name was Vince Young. But he didn't have the numbers. Didn't have the passing stats. Didn't have the accuracy, or didn't have... It was win football games. Fourth quarter comeback after fourth quarter comeback. A guy just who knew how to win. Rookie of the year. Took you to the playoffs. But he wasn't good enough. And he had a feud with Jeff Fisher. That didn't help. And Bud Adams sided with Jeff Fisher. Haven't been able to find a quarterback since. You think Mariota's the guy. He's got the tools. You couldn't like him any more than they don't come any better than this guy. But inconsistency rules the roost here. It's just week after week is inconsistent. You beat the Browns. You demolish the Browns. You look like you could be the best team in the NFL and be Super Bowl contenders. And then you lose back-to-back weeks against division opponents. Indianapolis, without their quarterback, who retires a week before the season. And Jacksonville, who's supposed to be a mess, can't run the ball, don't have a quarterback. But Gardner Minshew apparently comes out of nowhere, beats you. And then you come back the next week and put on a great performance against Atlanta. Same thing last year. You beat Philadelphia. You beat the Patriots. But you lose to Buffalo, the team they had last year, and Miami. I understand your pain. Hard to figure out these teams, but we'll continue to watch.
I do understand, though, like don't get me wrong. I understand wanting to upgrade your team and wanting to do something big, okay? The part that I struggle with Kirk Cousins is that what made you think that this guy was going to be that guy? We're contemplating on going out and getting Drew Brees or Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers here. Why would you make Kirk Cousins one of the top paid players in the NFL? What has he done to justify that? Do you know what his record is against teams with a winning record in the NFL?
Not sure I want to know.
I believe now one of our viewers will know the answer to this. I believe it's like 5-21 or something like that. So in Kirk Cousins' career, and this is going back to Washington, you want to know why they didn't want him back? Because every single time they played against a team that had a good defense and a winning record, they lost. Wouldn't you, 5-20 or whatever, wouldn't you slip on a banana peel once in a while and if you're on a good team, beat a good team? That's the part that drives Minnesota fans crazy. Is it's not that they tried to upgrade. I mean, everybody can understand. Hey, listen, if one of the best players in the National Football League is in free agency, paying that guy, who wouldn't?
Yeah.
But Kirk Cousins? Kirk Cousins is a is a way below average quarterback. What were you seeing?
We could do this every week, I know.
That's what gets people.
All right. We've ranted. Marshall Ferguson has been sitting here listening to us rant. You can put on your headphones, Kelly. He joins us from TSN 1150 in Hamilton. Good morning, Marsh.
Morning. Morning. How are you?
Well, we're good. You've heard us rant. You've heard us vent a little bit here. And I'm sure the people in Hamilton want to come on this program and vent. Or maybe they don't want to come on this show, knowing how the last couple of days has gone. And maybe it's a good thing that Rod left for the second hour of the show so we can talk about him while he's not here. But here's your chance to vent for the people of Hamilton this morning. We've had our chance. Now it's your turn.
Yeah, no, it's all good. I've seen all the comments. I've heard everything. I understand the conversation surrounding Simone. I disagree with it, and it's not me being a Hamilton-centric guy. It's me being somebody who watches the CFL week in, week out. And, I mean, I've watched 30,000 snaps CFL over the last 3 years, and I see stuff that happens all the time all over the place, and I think it's unfair the way that Simone has been characterized by your show and also by, I think, a lot of people around the league. And I don't really understand the conversation around it. I asked Rolando Steinauer this morning on my own radio show here in Hamilton if he understands the conversation and exactly what is happening around that conversation. And he says, yeah, he gets it. He says he doesn't agree with it. He doesn't really care. But he says, like, people are always going to have opinions. And so he understands why people have the discussion. But for me, I mean, the idea that Simone is a bad person, I mean, I take off my Hamilton bias that's naturally built in because I don't deny that that exists because I cover the team and I'm around them. But at the same time, as an observer of football at large, there's a lot of stuff that happens. I mean, there's Odell Willis has a longer rap sheet than Simone does. I haven't heard a word about him this week. He took a penalty for Spiro Schultz in the game this past Saturday. Dylan Wynn, who plays on Simone's defense, arguably has a bit of a longer track record in terms of what he's done, but I don't hear him getting called a thuggish type. I look around at the rest of the Canadian Football League, and there's guys like Mike Moore, defensive lineman for the Edmonton Eskimos, who punches Dane Evans in the head on the final throw of the game a couple weeks ago in Edmonton. There's no flag. Nobody cares about it. And then you end up going on to see Mike Moore trying to stomp on somebody's elbow, which I tweeted out this week, just basically saying, like, you can pick and choose where you want your anger to be. Mm-hmm. I understand that. But if you're picking and choosing based on the identity, frustrates me because Simone has built up his brand absolutely on being somebody who's brash and talks and has fun while he's out there in his own special way. For Simone, in my opinion, his greatest asset of what he's been able to do the last couple of seasons is that Simone doesn't give a damn what people think of him. He really doesn't. And I think that's the best part of him because he goes through things like this where he's getting tweets every single day calling him a this and a that and all these sorts of things. And he just doesn't care. Now, the worst part about Simone is that he just doesn't give a damn what anybody
yes.
thinks. Like, it's the exact same thing. So for me, like, I love the guy because I know the man. I understand you guys don't know the man. I understand that people outside of Hamilton don't get to see the work that he does, charity otherwise. And the other thing I would say is that from my perspective, again, just as an analyst, not as the voice of the Hamilton Tiger Cats, is Simone's one of the most active players in the Canadian Football League over the past 5 years when it comes to tackles, when it comes to being involved, backfield, interceptions, otherwise. He's a playmaker. He's all over the place. If you're to look at the actual percentage of infractions or supplementary discipline that's come down on Simone Lawrence compared to other guys around the league, I think you'd realize that he's not this guy who's running around looking to take heads off. Now, he plays fast. He plays physically. He plays angry. But he actually told me he watched the play with Logan Kilgore you guys were talking about in previous days with him after the game. Like, he pulled out the iPad, he went and found him, he went and talked to him, and Logan was like, dude, I totally understand what happened there. You got popped by CJ Gable, you fought back into the play, you couldn't see me, your view was obstructed, I was going down, and it was right at the echo of the whistle, and you hit me. And he's like, you're probably going to lose some money. And somebody's like, yeah, I understand that. But he's like, I want you to make sure that I didn't try to take your head off. That's not what this was. And so he told me that. He also told me that he talked to Zach Kolaros about this, and that Zach Kolaros was very understanding of, like, listen, man, you were way too fired up. Third play of the game, so was Delvin Bro when he tried to murder William Powell. Like, I get it. That's the way that it goes. is that you're too fired up, you make a couple of dumb decisions, penalties all the way down the field, boom, Riders opening drive touchdown against a defense that probably shouldn't have given that up, especially with Fajardo coming in for injured Kolaros on the third play of that game. But the whole idea of that was they made dumb decisions in that drive. Simone doesn't deny that. He's like, I don't like that that happened. He knows I would never try to injure him, but it happened, and he tried to move on. That's a lot different than Vontaze Burfict. That's a lot different than 10 years of misdemeanors and major crimes and all the rest. And speaking of crime with the thuggish type, the comment that was made by Rod, I mean, I was embarrassed. I wish he was here that I could tell him to his face that I was embarrassed by that as a member of the CFL media, because we are not here to call players' names, and we're not here to do things that could be deemed by people who are of a different ethnicity to carry a certain connotation with it, because we don't get to make those judgments on exactly how that connotation is taken by them. They get to make those judgments. Like, it just, it's not, there's a disconnect there, and I've seen the disconnect on social media, which is not surprising. And I'm not happy about the way that it's gone, because I think it's an unfair conversation.
No, and that's why I love having these conversations. It's actually a great opportunity for us to sit and chat about it, because I love dissecting the way people interact and the way people, you know, do these things and handle themselves. And I love looking at these situations. And I love hearing the stuff about Simone, because we don't hear those stories. And I think that's maybe a problem, is those stories need to be told. If we knew the guy... And I hope one day we'll get that opportunity, because that will make for a great moment, too. Because if there's anybody that believes in second chances or rehabilitation or coming around, it's got to be Rod. I don't want to speak for him, but going through what he's gone through, of course. But reacting to a play and making a comment, of course, I don't think it had anything to do with race. And I don't.
Yeah, that's the part I got.
I don't want to keep bringing...
That's ridiculous. Sorry.
I don't want to bring the race up,
though. I appreciate you being a guest on the show. Shame on you for saying that. What does that have to do with race? I mean, Rod's gone off on white people, Ulf Samuelsson or Cody Beach, who is a junior hockey player, and they're white. I don't remember that even coming up in the conversation. So why, when he makes a comment that could pertain to literally anybody, does that make Rod in any way, shape, or form a racist, or insinuate that he was making racist comments? Sorry, my friend, help me out on that one.
Racist. No, it's okay. I understand. I'm not insinuating that Rod is either of those things. What I am saying is, when you use language that can be determined by somebody else of a different ethnicity to take on that meaning, then that's when you get into the murky waters. And that's why Simone made that comment on Twitter, is because if you look like me, you don't get to make a determination about what that term means. And I understand you guys pulled out the Hooked on Phonics and the dictionary and all the rest yesterday to be able to understand what that definition means. But if you look back at several terms that have been used, I'm not saying that one word is equal to another, and how we judge these things, especially in 2019, is different than it's ever been before. But for me, I go back and I look at what LeBron James and his group of businessmen did, his friends, Maverick Carter, all the rest, when they were with the Miami Heat, and Phil Jackson ended up saying that, you know, it's unfair to Pat Riley for LeBron James and his posse to go around and try and dominate the negotiations in free agency. And when he said that, it made LeBron angry enough where he's like, I got no time for Phil Jackson anymore. Like, I just don't care to speak about or talk about that guy anymore, because that posse term, it was the same thing. It doesn't really mean much of anything. It actually means, I believe, like a group of armed men who come out and are acquired by a sheriff to be able to actually enforce the rule of law. But in that connotation, like, we haven't had the relationship with race relations that Simone Lawrence has, especially growing up in America, especially growing up in Pennsylvania in America, which I know is not deep south. He is more sensitive to these things, and I don't make the judgment as to how sensitive he's allowed to be. He's upset about that, then good for him. It's the way that he's allowed to live his life, and I have no problem with him being able to say that. And the other thing is, too, like, I know the whole rehabilitation and having Simone on and all the rest, Simone's like not going to come on, because Simone is somebody who's very prideful, as you can tell when you watch him on game day. And I don't see why he would ever want to associate with something that has deemed him to be classified in any way, shape, or form. And so that's why I think it's fair for him to have that frustration, because he has a different life perspective than anybody else does. And he's the one that's being attacked, and he's the one that's dealing with the daily social media.
And he's the one that's throwing out those hits, attacked. Though.
But that's
one hit. Yeah,
I want to move on from this, because we've gone through this enough over the last couple of days, clearly. And there's a big week 17 in the CFL coming. But that's the great thing about, it's not the great thing, but it's one of the things about Canada. We're allowed to all be diverse and do our own things, and he's allowed to take it a way that he's taken it growing up and be upset about it and have his opinions. And we're allowed to disagree on it. And Rod's allowed to come from a different place where it has no meaning, and we need to be able to understand each other. So we need to be able to understand how and why he would take it that way, and also understand why Rod would consider that to not mean anything close to that. And yeah, I mean,
can we all agree? All of us agree though on one thing? And this is, and Marshall, I think you'll agree with me on this point, that as a coach, because I've coached kids, I've never coached at that level of football, but when you're coaching people, and I don't care whether you're talking about football, hockey, lacrosse, whatever, the more violent type of game, spirited, physical, hard-nosed games, coaches will always rather take a guy that's sort of on the edge and have to maybe pull them off the edge a little bit than guys that are so far away from the edge that you have to literally drag them there. And this is a guy who is one of the most talented players in our league. He's a tremendous tackler. Just set a record, I believe, a couple weeks ago for most tackles in a game, beating Reggie Hunt's record.
17.
Right? Like, that's, you can't be anything but outstanding under any circumstance and make 17 tackles in one game. It's impossible. This guy is a special, special player, but he plays with a very high motor. And you can't ask these guys to be gentle giants 24/7. But then as soon as they go out onto the field, we want you to play as hard as you possibly can and be violent, but never go outside of that edge. It's impossible. Well, you can't ask these guys to play that way. So you have to take the good with the bad.
And I understand, Marshall, your comment before. I mean, that's why there's more car accidents than there are plane accidents, because there's more cars on the road. When he's involved in that many plays, he's going to have a greater chance of making contact or making hits that are maybe not over the line as a guy who maybe doesn't make as many tackles in a football game. So completely get that. But either way, one of our conversations yesterday, or was it the day before now? Time is getting so blurred with all that's gone on with the social media stuff, was about the Coach of the Year debate. And around here and in our poll, Craig Dickinson has soared towards the top of the poll, even ahead of Kahari Jones, who's done amazing things in Montreal. But I mentioned the guy that's been forgotten about is Orlando Steinauer. And Kahari, I mean, it was a mess in Montreal. It's pretty obvious that he's done a tremendous job with that team in Montreal, making them not only a playoff team, but potentially a Grey Cup contender. I mean, Craig Dickinson losing his starting quarterback, we all said the whole season rested on Zach Caleros' health. Well, they're in first place without him. But Orlando Steinauer and that group maybe lost the CFL's MOP and are still able to be first in the entire league. What a great job he's done. Where do you see the Coach of the Year debate kind of playing out here through 16 weeks?
I think that Kahari, in my opinion, is in the lead because with Mike Sherman there, there's no chance the Alouettes look like they do. Now, I would say there is still not a very good percentage chance that the Tiger Cats are sitting at 11-3, all the rest with Jeremiah Masoli out, with some other coaching staffs that have been here in the past. Could it have happened with June Jones? Maybe. I mean, it's Dane Evans could have been put in an offensive system that allowed him to still have success and be very efficient and all the rest. But for me, there's a difference between the two major aspects of coaching. One is system and the other is people. And I think what Kahari has done is, yes, he's put in his system and he's been able to work and then he's built something around Vernon Adams Jr. and that's all great. But to me, what Kahari has done with the people is the biggest thing, because the belief and the room of men, I don't think they've believed previously in what was going on there in Montreal. In fact, I've had the Alouettes, whether I know them through my university days or covering the league, and I've become friends with them and I see them at the Grey Cup. And, you know, the end of the season, they've been done for a month and you say, hey, what's going on in Montreal? And there's guys that have been there that just say, like, it's a mess. And there's people that have said that about other organizations in recent history, too. I think that's probably a common thread running through Toronto and Ottawa right now, is players that are looking around and going, the hell have we been doing for the last couple of months? Like, how is it possible that we're sitting in this situation? So I think that Montreal, because that belief instilled, how to put Kahari out and put in all the X's and O's that you want. But if the men don't believe, and if you don't have a system of support within your locker room, then that's not going to get off the ground at all. And the fact, honestly, he's been able to do this with Vernon Adams Jr., who was the fourth or fifth best quarterback in Hamilton last year. It was Jeremiah Masoli, then it was Dane Evans, and then it was Johnny Manziel, believe it or not. Dane Evans played him in camp, right? So, and then it was like Bryant Moniz was right there with Vernon Adams Jr. I actually graded out during training camp last year, just because of all the Manziel mania, I looked at who was throwing the ball accurately, where were they throwing it down the field. Every single throw at training camp in competitive periods, 12 on 12, Skelly, all the rest, I was tracking, I was charting, because I'm trying to get a sense, okay, is Manziel actually good? Like, what the hell are we talking about?
And you're a quarterback.
And so, exactly. And so I ended up going through and doing all this work through training camp, and it was just a scramble every day to try and keep on top of everything. But I would do it, and at the end of training camp, I wrote an article last year on CFL.ca about what the quarterbacks were through, like, 8 days of training camp or whatever it was. And essentially, it was like, Dane Evans is pretty damn good. Jeremiah is really, really accurate. Vernon Adams Jr., awful. Like, he was not good in training camp last year, to the point where they were like, okay, we're just going to let you go. And he's like, can I play receiver? And they're like, sure. So they'd use him as a scout team guy for a little while, and then they ship him out. And then June Jones talked about trading him, and then they didn't trade him. And then it was all over the place. And the fact that I'm watching him play on Fridays and Saturday nights right now, and I'm seeing him run around and run through secondaries and spin out of tackles and operate an offense and show, outside of that Adam Big Hill incident, I think he's shown a lot of leadership as well, which when you see the maturity, like literally the maturity on his face, the way he carries himself with Montreal right now, there's no chance in hell that happens if Mike Sherman is there. I'm sorry. That's just not going to happen. So yeah. The way that Kahari's been able to kind of take that man and use that as kind of like a micro example of what he's done to the team, I think that gives him the coach of the year to me right now. With that being said, Craig's been great. I love the way that he's taken a hold of that job and dominated kind of the room. And I love the way that he operates on the sideline, too. I really do. Like, just whether it's a mic'd up game or otherwise, like it was in Toronto this past week, the way he communicates to his staff and his players, I think, is exceptional. And then Orlando, I mean, thing. Orlando's going to be around for a long time in Hamilton if everybody has their way. And he has a belief in the things that he does. And I've seen it come to fruition every day at practice. He knows what he's doing.
You know, Marshall, I was driving here today. And I was thinking to myself, now, guys, there might be an easy one or an obvious one staring me right in the face, and I'm just not thinking about it. But I legitimately don't remember the last time at this stage in the game where you're coming down the home stretch and you're thinking to yourself, the best team in the CFL might be an Eastern team, like legit. That the like could be the best team. Forget about the fact that we know in the playoffs anything can happen. But when was the last time? That an Eastern team.
Anthony Calvillo.
But we're going back.
Maybe Ricky Ray.
A decade. Right? Yeah, but do you think that even when Ricky was there that they won, but were they the best team? Like, I guess what I'm trying to say is this is a heck of a Hamilton team, and it's got to be very exciting for people in Hamilton that this isn't sort of an apparition or something that it's like, well, you know, we're hot now, but like this isn't going to last. Like, this might legitimately be the best club.
Yeah, I would say those Calvillo teams of the late 2000s and maybe Ricky Ray into 2010, 11, 12, somewhere in there leading up to the 100th Grey Cup, I think would be the last time that at least the East had a team that was very much in the discussion, because since then it's been the Calgarys and Edmonton's had some runs with Mike Riley and Saskatchewan's been able to put together some scrappy runs and all the rest. I think actually Winnipeg has the most talented roster. Like, I think top bottom, looking at Winnipeg, they have the best roster, but quarterback to play. Yeah. And I just wrote an article today talking about Chris Streveler and the rest of the quarterbacks in the CFL and wide side throws. And you look at like almost every metric right now when it comes to just pure passing, accuracy, ability to throw the ball to the wide side of the field to stretch the defense horizontally so they can't play certain types of defense against you. And Strevler's like at or near the bottom. I love the guy. I think he's fun. I think he's creative. I think he's got a great imagination. He's got a great way of carrying himself. His body's certainly built for professional football. But if they don't get quarterback play, Winnipeg's not going anywhere. So, yeah, I think – at this point, I would say Hamilton's the best team in the Canadian Football League. Now, what is that worth when you're going into Week 17? Not a whole hell of a lot. Like, they have to be the best team by the time they hit the East Final and the Grey Cup. But the thing I said on my radio show here in Hamilton this morning, guys, was just if you are looking at this team right now and you live in Hamilton, Burlington, Oakville, Mississauga, St. Catharines, Niagara, anywhere around here, a lot of people that kind of have this nice feeling, especially with the 99 Grey Cup team being honored coming up tomorrow night. And I think a lot of people are looking at the opportunity to be able to celebrate the 99 team, and it's giving them that nostalgia. And the unique thing about the CFL is you're playing 18 games in the regular season, as we all know, and then you're going into, essentially, if you win the division in the regular season, a bye week and then a two-game sprint. There's 1 week between the East Final and the Grey Cup, the West Final and the Grey Cup. If you want to buy in on a team, if you haven't done it by Labor Day, you're on the outside looking in because you're already late on the bandwagon, right? And I think that's what I think is interesting right now with this Ticats team is the crowd is going to be close to Labor Day capacity celebrating this 99 Grey Cup team on Friday night against the Edmonton Eskimos? Is it because the Eskimos are great? It's an interdivision matchup. It's a rivalry. No, it's just the fact that people are starting to really believe in this thing. The hard part is down the stretch, because you do play so many games. The Ticats have a bye week after this game against Edmonton. Then they're at home to Ottawa, at Montreal, home to Toronto to finish on a Saturday at 7 p.m. Who knows what the hell that game is going to look like. And then they've got another bye week. They go into the East Final, as we all presume, probably against Montreal if they beat Edmonton in the crossover. And so right now, I was saying to people this morning on radio, like, if you're going to buy in, do it now, because you want to enjoy the ride. Because if you don't enjoy the ride of actually having a team, as you say, that's at or near the top football league, then you're going to blink and the playoff run, as we call it in the CFL, is going to be over, because it's 1 week long. So you can't possibly be like, you know what? I think I believe in this team when they get to the East Final. And then 7 days later, you're like, oh, damn, I just got excited about it. Like,
yeah.
You got to buy in now. And I think that goes for anybody, even the casual fan around the Canadian Football League right now. You're looking for a team, not even that you want to cheer for, but just that you think is interesting. And I think right now it's the most interesting team outside of Bo Levi Mitchell trying to find his bearings, maybe, or Saskatchewan trying to create enough offensively with their new receivers that are getting into the lineup. I think there's storylines for every team, but in terms of kind of the narratives of where we're going headed down the stretch, the Ticats have got a lot of decisions to make about personnel. Sean Thomas Erlington may be coming back. They've got a couple of looks at what they want to do with their depth charts at different positions in the defensive backfield, the health of their offensive line moving forward. Do they have to dress extra bodies just to, in case? I think there's so many different parts that are going to go into this down the stretch that we're going to end up seeing that momentum build. But I am a little bit worried that people are going to dive in and all show up for the East Final, and then it's like, bang, the team's gone to Calgary if they win the East Final. And everybody's sitting back here in Hamilton going, damn, did they play 9 home games this year?
Right.
I don't think I went to any. Like,
it means so much more when you can ride the ups and downs and when they finally get through it. But we got to let you go, Marsh. Appreciate this. Have a great afternoon, and good luck on the call tomorrow. I want to, before I let you go, Wayne mentions, what a great commentary on Coach of the Year. Marshall's take is very good. So good on you for that. It was very good. That's Wayne on the Facebook wall. And you're going to get better this year. Delvin Bro coming back too. So, you know, all the best down the stretch, and I'm sure we'll get you on again soon.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Marshall Ferguson joining us from TSN Radio in Hamilton. All right. We got a break. A couple more segments. We got to get through these really rapid fast, because I think we're a break behind here. We might go a little overtime today, if you're good with that.
I'm fine with that.
All right.
No problem.
Rempel's here. I'm Darren DuPont. Rod Peterson away, but he's back tomorrow. And we'll be back on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Your favorite movies. Your episode after episode after episode season marathon. All in one beautiful little box. With Max TV Stream from Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer, you can experience the best of live TV and movies on demand, in home or on the go. Just $99. Entertainment your way, anyway. Get your Max TV Stream media box today for just $99. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Lives fully connected.
Your economic security does not lie in your job. It lies in your power to produce, to think, to learn, to create, to adapt. That is true financial independence. It's not merely having wealth. It's having the power to produce wealth. We are your power to produce wealth. We are your freedom to make your dreams your reality. We are your shield against uncertainty. We are your family's protector when you no longer can be. We are your assurance that the light you see at the end of the tunnel isn't a train. We are comfort, clarity, and peace of mind. We are your financial guardian angel. We are 2020 Wealth Management. We are all these things and more. And we welcome you. Come see us and prosper.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appel Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Hold the... Can I? Can I ring the bell? Can I? Is that offside? It's Rod's bell.
Why would it be offside?
Well, I don't know. Like, I feel like there's some things that are sacred.
Just
and you can't do. I said first time, and I'm really going to ring it because it's so good. That felt so good. Felt so good. Houston. Update. Five more people have booked on the Houston trip this morning. That deserves another one. Look at Marsha. Look at Kelly. Quick. I got to ring it again. He was plugging his ears.
Sheesh.
That was light.
That thing is loud.
Slow on the draw, but it's all good. It is loud. Way louder in here than it is on the air. I say this when I host this show that I've got to do it my own way. I'm not going to ever do it like Rod because I'm never going to be Rod, right? I got to be my own person doing it. So that's why I say I don't know that I can ring the bell, but it felt good. I will say it felt really good
to ring the bell. My ears didn't feel good.
It felt great. But... five more people coming to Houston. Get on it right away. Michelle, I'm going to text you back right after the show. I did get your message. I did get your email. So know that, and we're going to get you all that information here right away because this is the last week to book. RodPeterson.com/trip. RodPeterson.com/trip. Come with us to Houston December 5th to the 10th. See the Houston Texans, Denver Broncos. You're going to get to see two NBA basketball games with the Houston Rockets. It's one of the NBA's super teams with Russell Westbrook and James Harden. That's exciting. And then we're going to plan some stuff when we're down there. I don't think it's going to be too expensive, but we're going to get some other stuff in there, like maybe a high school football playoffs, NCAA championships are going on. We want to go to Nassau. We want to do some other things down there. So it's going to be a blast, and you're going to get one-on-one time with me and Rod and everybody who's down there. So we're going to have a great time. So rodpeterson.com/trip, rodpeterson.com/trip. And the only sports trip I know that's available here for that time that's under $2,000 for double occupancy.
I'll be going to the high school.
That's going to be cool, hey?
I went to, in fact, LaBardius and I went to a Viking game years ago, and they have what they call, this is the Black Friday weekend. It's like the last weekend of, the long weekend in the States, and they have what they call a prep bowl. So and this was at the old Metrodome, but I'm sure they still do it at US Bank Stadium. They have the 1A, 2A, 3A, 4A, and 5A state championships at 9 o'clock in the morning, noon, 3, 6, and 9. So every 3 hours, there's a new game. And by the time they started getting into like the 3 o'clock game, there's probably 20,000 people there to watch the 3A game. Then about, you know, maybe 35-ish thousand maybe to watch the 9 o'clock game had 49,000 people in the Metrodome.
Whoa.
To watch two high school teams. And it was 43-41 was the final score. One of the best, most electric football experiences I've ever had. It was unbelievable.
That's cool.
And in Texas, I got to think it's even bigger than that, because isn't that the mecca of high school football?
Supposed to be.
Is Texas?
Supposed to be. Yeah. So we're really excited about that. Prairie Mobile text line is still open, 306-840-8777. Do we have an update on the Capital Automall Universal Collision Center daily poll? We haven't talked about that in hour two, and we should. We'll get Clark to bring that up. Here we go. Which is Canada's game of the week in the CFL? What do you get? What do you know? Winnipeg, Saskatchewan running away with it. 92.5% of the vote. So
is
Toronto
there
and BC,
another choice?
Toronto and BC
really?
Doesn't even have a vote. BC's playing well, though. I mean, I'm intrigued to see BC play every week right now to see
really?
If they can keep playing well. Not that I have any hope of them being a contender, but Calgary, Montreal, 5% of the vote, and then Edmonton, Hamilton tomorrow night, 2.5%. But really excited for the triple header and Winnipeg, Saskatchewan on Saturday.
But they're all great matchups, though.
They are. They're all really good matchups. They should be highly
competitive,
entertaining games. All right, we got overtime next. We are in overtime. We're overtime. We're going to go a little bit longer today, not too long, but we're going to rapid fire through some topics that you want to talk about. Next in overtime with me and the Silver Fox. So get your thoughts and your questions in anywhere you want to go. Dan on the Prairie Mobile text line wants to talk about Rams Seahawks tonight. We're going to do that rapid fire in a little overtime segment on the other side. It's the Rod Peterson Show here on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital Ford Lincoln. We have over 800 new and used vehicles to choose from with savings up to $19,000. And for a limited time, we're offering finance rates as low as 0% on new vehicles and 1.9% on used vehicles. Buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the Greatest Auto Sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bus down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's Greatest Auto Sale.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back. Overtime here in the Rod Peterson Show. I'm Darren DuPont in for Rod here in the second hour. Podcasts are available, rodpeterson.com, but on all your favorite podcast providers like Apple Podcasts or Google Play, Stitcher, CastBox, iHeartRadio, Spotify, it's there too. So you can listen to Hour 1. Rod was in. Great chat with John Paddock today about hockey, life, nine Pats making opening day rosters in the NHL. Thought that was really cool. So lots of fun. We went back, talked hockey. Then, and also in the top of hour two, we went into last night in the National Hockey League. Haven't done a sports update here in this hour, but I want to get to the NHL tonight. Florida is in Tampa. The Winnipeg Jets open their season in New York against the Rangers. Pittsburgh is home to Buffalo. Carolina home to Montreal. Minnesota on the road in Nashville. Dallas opens their season home to Boston. The Calgary Flames are on the road in Colorado, which should be a really good game a little bit later on. That's a 7 o'clock start, and the late one is Anaheim home to the Arizona Coyotes tonight. Dan in Regina on the Prairie Mobile text line at 306-840-8777 wants to talk Rams and Seahawks tonight. We'll do this quickly. Your thoughts on the Thursday nighter tonight. Two exciting teams, but the Rams coming off a bit of a setback.
Yeah, that one, I couldn't make any sense out of that. I never would have seen that one coming in a million years. So you got to think they're going to be a little growly and snarly. Seahawks are a better team than I thought they were going to be this year. I didn't anticipate that they'd be maybe as good with the record that they had. But, yeah, that's one of those, you know, pick-ems, right?
Yep.
You can flip a coin on that one.
Breaking news. I'm not going to ring the bell, but Adam Larson has been placed on long-term injury reserve by the Edmonton Oilers. So a hit to their back end one game into the season. Adam Larson going to the long-term IR. So that's going to hurt the back end a little bit. A little more pressure on Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid up front. Tomorrow on the program, well, let's get to that in a second. One thing we didn't talk about much in the, or if at all, in this second hour, we did a little bit off the top, and we'll get into it a ton tomorrow, is the Saturday night game, Riders and Bombers. It's a big game, maybe the biggest one. I said the Riders have to win this game tomorrow or on Saturday if they want any chance of finishing first. The tiebreakers in the season series between the Bombers and Riders is on the line. And the way they played in that Banjo Bowl, I think the pressure goes on Cody Fajardo and this offense to show that they can really win against this defense, can game plan well. So I think between Craig Dickinson, Stephen McAdoo, and Cody Fajardo, that's where the pressure lies. But there's a ton of pressure on the Bombers here, too, coming off that loss in Hamilton to show that, you know, for Strevler and this team, that they should be in the conversation for a home playoff game and first place. Your thoughts on quickly on this this Rider Blue Bomber game on in week 17?
Well, for whatever reason, over the years the Riders always seem to win, and they're usually in competitive games, you know, on Labor Day, and then they typically get just completely destroyed at the Banjo Bowl. I mean, it doesn't happen every year, but just about every year. So I don't really think too much about that, because for whatever reason, that's usually what happens. I think that I don't disagree with you on the Cody Fajardo thing, but the one thing I've learned over the years is that when a quarterback's numbers are poor in a specific game, that doesn't always tell the whole story, because chances are it's not because he was that bad. It was because everybody around him was equally as bad, right?
Right.
There are, let's not get back into the Kirk Cousins scenario, but there are games where quarterbacks are given every opportunity and all they got to do is make their throws, and they don't make their throws and they throw three picks and it's a disaster and they lose because of it. But I don't think that in games like even the home game against Calgary, where Cody's numbers were not very good,
right,
it wasn't his fault. I mean, the team was terrible. Right? So I think the Riders, by fact that they're going to be playing at home, and I think that makes a big difference. I don't think they like playing in Winnipeg. I'm just spiffballing here, but they don't play well there. But they're at home, and I also think that they got to be pretty sour, because if I was embarrassed the way they were going back to Winnipeg, I would want to make sure that the next time I played that team, that they knew that that wasn't like the real...
Yes.
Our team. So I think that will fire them up. And I just don't see Strevler having the kind of game this time that he did last. There's enough film on him now. They'll be more than prepared for him.
Dave Spada, 4 on the Facebook wall. He says, I'll disagree, Darren. I think there is more pressure on the Bombers, especially after their last two games. And I know Paul and their crew at ICAST does a great job, and they do a lot of curling events. I'll use a curling analogy that I love. When the rock is thrown and you hear, hurry, hurry hard, whoa, 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 no, hurry, hurry, whoa, whoa, and they can't decide, you know it's going to be a good shot, right? It's always a good shot. And if I think the pressure's on the Riders, he thinks it's on the Bombers, that tells me it's going to be a hell of a game on Saturday with a whole lot on the line. So really looking forward.
And a beautiful day, too, apparently.
Yeah, the weather's supposed to go, too. So that's exciting for me. Tomorrow on the program, Frenzy is back in for Friday, as always. David Benefield, love getting his takes. He'll be back on. Rod Robison, the commissioner of the Western Hockey League. Our NFL, CFL insider, Torrey Gurley, joins us. He's been great. And the Massey twins will be in studio. YouTube sensation. They're big fans of the show, too. Really excited to have them in here tomorrow. So it'll be a big Friday to close out the week, and a lot of CFL talk as we get ready for week 17 as all the games pick up steam and more meaning every single week. So Rems, thanks for coming in for the second hour.
My pleasure.
And big thanks to John Paddock for joining us in hour one, and Marshall Ferguson joining us in Hamilton during some tense times. I'm Darren DuPont. Thanks for watching, and we will see you tomorrow on the Rod Peterson Show. Rod is back here on Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.